to the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am your host, Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Yeah, hello.
And Tellius Tyler.
Yo.
For those who have missed us, we missed you too. We were going to do one last week, but then we had some admin issues. And yeah, it's true. And we honestly, it was a holiday weekend, so we didn't really mind giving you all a break. But it's time to get the show back on the road.
Yeah, we were all out in line trying to grab our NES classics.
Right? No, right. Save it for the news. Save it for the news. All right. So naturally, since it's been 2 weeks, even with the holiday, it's time to do. What have you been playing? I haven't played anything. Totally haven't. I mean, there wasn't any big releases in the 2 weeks while we were gone.
Yeah, there was really nothing out there.
No,
there was,
nothing
there
at all.
Was really nothing. I mean, I certainly didn't spend like 65 hours in an RPG game.
No. I didn't go to a special store so I could get 40% off of a certain title because I bought the other title and actually got a carrying case. Custom made, you know, because I bought them both at the same time. I would never do such a thing.
No,
let alone on my day off.
That's silly. That's
never.
Silly.
Okay, we're lying. You obviously know what we're talking about. Pokemon Sun and Moon. I got Pokemon Sun.
I got Pokemon Moon, and I know Will probably got both, right?
I was gonna say Will got the demo. Because we talked about this, Will. You're supposed to get the demo.
I pretty much done with that, but I have something even more rare in my hands besides Pokemon Sun and Moon. And you know what I'm talking, which is
okay, rare. You can talk about it because that is technically what you played. Go ahead and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Black Friday actually was one of the rare people who actually got the NES Classic Editions. And
yes, clap for
yeah, I don't know if you can hear my clapping,
clap,
but
clap, clap,
I could hear it. Actually, you could hear it. That was lovely. No,
I was very surprised how crazy the lineup was. Like when I was reached up to there, it was almost to the train station already, and like I was just glad I actually managed to snag one of these things in New York. So yeah, that's actually what I've been playing, and it's pretty much as they say. It's like one, the system is cute, it's small, I can break this damn thing, and of course the controller, it is ridiculously short.
Yeah, that's like one of the big complaints.
That stinks. I was hoping that might be overblown.
No.
That, like, you know, Game Informer would just be like, do their normal Nintendo stinks thing and make a big deal about it.
No, IGN said the same thing. They were like, it's 2 feet. You know, you have to be right up next to it. And when you think about it, 2 feet isn't too bad. But when you're like, modern gamer who has like a wireless controller or like the, you know, the Wii U gamepad where you can like relax in your bed and, you know, you can like lounge, you know, without having to fear the cord. Yeah, I can understand why people are mad at that.
Right. I mean, again, the whole retro feeling aside and all that, yes, I can see what Nintendo was doing, but yeah. Like, come on, give me a little bit some length. Give me some length.
Yeah, they I saw a third party has like come out with like or is coming out with a controller that costs like $30 or some like annoyingly high number.
A controller extender?
It's a wireless version, mm-hmm. And it does. It has a home button, another thing that the Classic doesn't have, so you don't have to push the button anymore to bring it back to the home menu, which might be worth an investment, but it is, like, it's annoying that you have to spend another $30 or $40. It's one of those two numbers. I think it might be 40, actually, on a thing that really should have been packaged with this.
And now, we'll get to the impact and the release of this in a sec, but Will, I want to know what have been, like, specifically, the games you have played on the NES Classic, because there's 30 of them. So, like, what have you been focusing on?
From one thing that I've been actually haven't played on the Wii U or a virtual console, but actually now get back to it, is the original Kirby game, which of that thing has been very fun for the most part. Yeah. And I've never actually got a chance to, but I finally got a chance to play is Mega Man 2. Yeah, Mega Man 2.
I have not
played that game ever, and I've heard just great things about it, so like, I might as well try that. Of course, get the famous Metal Blades.
Yeah. Of course. It's extremely difficult, isn't it?
from what I played, yeah, I mean, I can see the games of the past, and now I can see why people have made songs about it on YouTube. Like, they cannot beat Airman and all that, all those things.
Airman's a pain.
And regards to other classics, yeah, Kirby, Mega Man 2, of course, like, I still remember playing the original, like, Super Mario. Man, that thing was, like, so long ago. I still remember the time when I actually played the original NES, the big NES back then. So, yeah, Super Mario. So, yeah, those are other games. I mean, there are other games that I need to touch on, like Pac-Man, Metroid, the other classics, one time. I mean, yeah, even Donkey Kong.
Have you checked out the original Final Fantasy yet? I put together my Christmas list and I've loaded it up with Final Fantasy games. I'm classic when I get the Final Fantasy one.
I have not tried it out yet, unfortunately. But yeah, the original Final Fantasy, I really have to go and definitely try that out. So yeah, that's definitely another thing I
If it's on a classic, then do it. Then do it. So,
Yes,
all right.
sometime down the road. Yep.
All right. So now we're gonna be very light on our Pokemon Sun and Moon breakdown because we're gonna be doing a very special spoiler cast, which should be releasing, the day after this podcast release or the day after that. It's definitely before the, but definitely before Monday comes. So stay tuned for that. But we can still give our general, very light impressions of it.
Yep, go for it. Go for
You
it.
know what you know whether this was like a sunshine on a rainy day or it just it mooned us I don't know or
That was mooned us.
did it reach for the stars? I don't know,
Yeah.
that kind of thing. So Tyler, I will let you I'll let you take it first. Give us your very light impressions of what you have thought about Sun Pokemon Moon so far.
I do think that it is the best Pokemon game ever created.
Wow, high praise.
It's incredibly fun. I really love the world building. I think it's the best it's ever been. Like the whole Alola region is very compelling. I think I'm really attached to it. I like all the islands are different. You kind of you do get like every sort of you visit a lot of the cliched places, but because it's all on a tropical island, the snow area is like, oh, this is so cool. When you actually get there, so it's just like, oh man, I'm there. I think that the region is amazing, and I really thought the story, which is we had touched on in our big Pokemon episode, I thought the story was very good. I just finished it like 20 minutes ago.
And I'm close to finishing, so we'll be fully prepared for our spoiler cast.
I was really pleasantly surprised by the story. There's a lot of nice little twists and turns. And a lot of really likable characters. So
Oh yeah.
I think it's the best Pokemon game yet. I don't know
So,
about you, Todd, though.
well, I'm actually in the other boat. No, I'm not. God
Yeah.
dang it. No, I'm not. This thing would have had to suck so hard for me to not like it. I mean, and again, this is just my light impressions. Will I say that it's the best? I don't know. I might have to hold out for just a little longer. I definitely think it's definitely top tier. I mean, my biggest concern going into this was when I found out there wasn't any gyms and that we had
Yeah.
the trials, the grand
The
trials,
Kahunas, yeah.
yeah, the Kahunas and everything. And I'll admit it didn't really hit all the time, but it when it worked, it really worked.
I
And
agree.
I totally agree with you, Tyler, about the world building. And that's not to say that Johto Kanto. I think Johto was the best one, especially when in regards to like Ecruteak City, of the history of that land. But with Alola, it's they want you to know about every island. They want you to know about every single kahuna and all the captains and everything. And they show so much personality.
Yeah.
It really helps. And there's a lot of twists and surprises, which we'll obviously get into our spoiler cast, but I was worried that this game would be quick. And then like I'm now like I honestly don't know. It's got to be at least 40 hours, and for me, and I'm not
Yeah.
done yet. And I'm just like, it doesn't feel like it's been that long because I haven't minded exploring everywhere, and I know I've still got a long way to go. Well, not long, long, but like, long. And I don't mind, like stopping and like seeing how many Pokemon I can find in a certain area because it's just that love of Pokemon, and Alola really does it well, especially since they have like six generations of Pokemon to dump into these islands.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was a great thing I thought. I think the selection of Pokemon is phenomenal. They have a lot of the great ones that you love really early in the game. Like my team when I took on the first guy was Ghastly, Growlithe, Magneton. I know he's not like a sweet
Magnemite.
Pokemon, but Magnemite anyway. I knew I
Magnemite.
was saying the wrong one. I just went with it anyway.
Magneton's an evolution, yeah.
And
And
a Kadabra. I had a Kadabra at that point
no.
as well.
A Kadabra,
Kadabra.
wow.
Yeah, so you get a lot of really cool Pokemon really early.
No, I agree. And like I kid you not, my first encounter on the second island was an Eevee.
No way.
I'm like, okay, let's see who we got here. I was at night, and I was just like, okay, let's see who we got here. And like the first one was Eevee. And I'm like, holy crap. And then I caught another one just because I was like, I want to see if I can build up my Eevee team. And then I got the egg, which I know we're going to spoilers, but who gives a crap? But it's just like, then I got the egg. So I have three Eevees. It's like, yeah, baby.
That's sweet. I got my team was Umbreon, Decidueye, the Lunala, the final evolution, Passimian, and then there's one more that I'm blanking on. He was clearly not a key member of the squad.
No, quite not.
But I think that the branches of evolutions that you could have from such an early point, I had an incredibly diverse team throughout the entire game. You could swap people in and out seamlessly because it was so easy to piece together a really good squad.
And that's something we got to talk about there, but I definitely wrap this up. I definitely think that Sun and Moon is a triumph. It is a perfectly good evolution of the Pokemon series. And again, I look forward to talking with you, Tyler, about this in more detail on our spoiler cast.
Yeah, same.
So be on the lookout for that, ladies and gentlemen. And then I don't know. Do we have our review of Sun and Moon on the site yet?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Okay, that's fine. Well, one of us between me, Tyler, or Clinton, who is also playing it and enjoying it, as far as I can tell, we will have our review up soon, hopefully. All right. So with that, it's time to move on to the news of the week, or in this case, weeks, because we have missed some stuff. And so it's time to go down the warp pipe. So let's start with, obviously, I guess you got the big news of the day, which is Nintendo showed off two different teasers into Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Two compelling, revealing, and just very, very detailed teasers.
Okay, the second one, not so much, but let's just roll with it. But let's just dive into it. We do have the first one up on the site, and I believe by the time this is published, I might put up the second one just because you need to see it, I suppose. Even though they are very evil in what they do in it, I swear. Look, there's a glowing thing. We can't go there. No, but it's glowing. No, we can't go there.
We delayed recording like an hour and a half to watch that, and then not compelling or detailed.
These were both shown at the Game Awards, which were held tonight at the time of this recording.
Yes.
So. Okay, so let's talk about the first one, which was A Life in the Ruins. You could already hear the sigh from Will because of, he's probably how emotional it made him. This one's very interesting because if you think about what we've been shown so far, it's very much about like the open world that Link himself is exploring, which we assume is Hyrule. And but in this one, we really got to see the rest of people.
Yes, other citizens, life forms, like other signs of life.
Villages. I mean, we saw like one or two villages, and it's just like, oh wow, there are people here, because you don't know until you know.
Right. Obviously, we won't be able to put it away for sure until we actually get the game. But there was a big fear, at least in my eyes, that the world would be so big that they wouldn't be able to populate it, and that doesn't seem like it's going to be a problem from what we were seeing. So.
And then, like, they had, like, a very cinematic feel to it, like, with, like, the tapestry, how it filled up, like, with monsters in it. That was very beautiful. And then this, we were talking about this before the podcast, but there was a certain halfway character reveal. It was female. And again, just go onto the Outer Haven site and you'll see it. It was female. She was dressed in clothing that was very similar to Link. Blonde hair, like Link blonde hair. But we didn't see her face.
Yes.
Now, there was an interesting theory going on here. Now, I thought it was Zelda because in the game titled The Legend of Zelda, who else would it be? But then Will himself came up with an interesting twist on this tale. Please, Will, tell us who you think it might be.
Yes, and even though Eiji Onuma says he does not want a female Link, I think that may possibly be a female Link, indeed, because, it could be possibly Zelda due to the hairstyle, but if you examine closely, we're going to clothing, and we're going to the spinoff title of Hyrule Warriors of Linko. I mean, yeah, it's not Linko, but...
But it could be Linko. That's what you're saying. It could be Linko. I mean, it could be.
It could maybe that. It may be that. like again, like the clothing, the hairstyles, like a female Link, like even. Know. Yeah, and yeah.
But I mean, to be clear here, it's not like female Link as in main character Link, because there's a clip of that girl next to Link at the very end of that clip. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Yeah, so that's why I'm fine with Link Gold, because that could be like, oh look, hey cousin Link, hi cousin Link Gold.
Right.
You know, that could be like, it's all in the family. What do we care?
Right. So. Right. Right. But yeah, again, because like. This is one thing I just want to like bring up, is because like how many times has Nintendo actually lied to us? Regarding to
Wii Music.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that. But yeah, there have been times like when Nintendo has denied it and like nope, we actually gotta go with 180 and like, yep, we tricked you. And but who knows? But so far that's pretty much the guess. Heck, at the time when I was looking up this thing, Game Explained already has a video regarding to say it could be female Link.
Yeah. So yeah, but that was the first part. Again, it's very cinematic. You should definitely check it out. Then the second one was held at the Game Awards, and
thought it would be like this huge thing because it's the main event. Like it's the one that everybody's going to tune in to see.
Yeah, and instead it was 4 minutes of jump cuts. Don't get me wrong. These videos can be nice. I mean, like I remember the Eiji Aonuma with Miyamoto. Like I guess it was 2 years ago. Gosh, you know, showing the very first one and you know hearing them talk about it as they were playing it was good. But that was a seamless movie. You know, that was a seamless video clip. Whereas this one was jump cut, jump cut. Oh, you. Oh, I'm dead. Jump cut, jump cut. Oh, look, stealth. Jump cut, jump cut. And I was like,
we get to watch Phil Trin and get bodied. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I was like, and to be honest, it didn't even look that good. Like, I don't know if it was just the screen I was viewing it on. It probably wasn't, though. And, like, it felt, like, different stylistically than, even just the trailer clip that we got earlier in the day. So I'm just like, you know, this is not the best way to show it off. And the way that Reggie built it, you know, it's just like, you know, we did this, and then we did this, but we're not done yet. And then they give us that. I'm like, yeah. You could do better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show us something.
I definitely thought that the quality of the video was more of my computer screen than it was the actual game. Like, I liked the environments. I thought the environments looked really cool. It was shown in, like, a thick forest area.
Yeah.
And jungle I liked the
area, really, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's right. It was more jungle than forest. And I thought the enemies looked really cool, and I thought that the whole art style continues to impress me.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I think it'll go well. But the video really didn't show us a whole lot. Bill Trennan playing and basically just getting destroyed. And then he died, and like the guy who was sitting next to him said, oh, let me show you, Bill. Like, I'm the professional.
Yeah,
and,
yeah right.
He was a lot better at what he was at playing the game. But you saw him like kill a monster with his arrow, and then he jumped somewhere else, and then he was in this deep, thick forest fighting this gigantic monster, which I thought was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, like you're getting ready to like you see this shining pedestal in the background, which we theorize could have been the Master Sword's pedestal. Maybe it wasn't.
It's so shiny.
It was just so shiny.
It's so shiny.
It had to be. But. We're not sure, because they just said, oh, and we can't reveal too much, so cut it off here. Jerks. And we're like, okay, so now you're going to, like, show it off in a live demonstration on stage, or... And no, it was just the end.
See, well, let's see, I need to do a Zelda pun here. What really burst my bombs was that...
That was a reach, but we'll take it.
That was a reach. I'm sorry. I'll sheath it for another time.
Oh! That was not.
Okay. So, where was I? Okay, no more puns. What really hurt me was that, you know, there's been rumors for, like, the last few weeks, especially that the game is getting delayed again from March, to which would have made it a launch title, to June, more or less, 2017. They didn't exactly alleviate thine fears, because all they said was, hey, it's coming out in 2017. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't want to hear this. I want to hear March 2017. Gosh dang it, Bill Trinan.
It's not coming out in March. Anybody think it is?
I mean, I would say right now, 25% chance, which I'm being generous. But I mean, it could still happen. But I mean, based on everything we're hearing, I think this is a huge blow to the Switch if it does, because this would have been the seller. Now, there are the rumors that the Mario game we saw in the reveal commercial is actually ready, and so they might move it up to be a launch title, but man, losing Zelda, that's huge.
What about you, Will? Ooh. Think this comes out in March?
From what I'm kind of pretty much with you guys. Like, as much as I would like to see coming in alongside the Switch, it's starting to come to the point that the Breath of the Wild is starting to become a bit too ambitious, unfortunately. I mean, they're definitely gonna like try to make everything as the greatest Zelda game it can possibly be, but like, I think they're kind of biting off more than they can chew, because like, again, you're adding so much to it. And I played the first like the beginning stages of their demo.
You drop off?
No, he's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot to take in this game. So if they want to put in like more, we're going to that jungle level, the arc, I mean, different monster varieties, just the huge world in general. Like, I don't know. Like, unfortunately, I'm going to say it most likely will be delayed, unfortunately. I mean, I hate to see it because, again, there was another game that was also delayed, but
I know, you want to make there.
I mean, if it's gonna be good, then fine, delay it. But I'm not gonna like it. I understand, but I'm not gonna like it.
It might be the optimist in me, but I do think I don't actually agree with what Todd said about being a huge blow to the Switch. I think it depends on the lineup. If the rest of the launch lineup is awesome, if they have Pokemon Stars like the rumor is saying, well, and they got the Mario,
I've heard that's coming out mid-2027. Best, like they were developing it so they could finish Pokemon Sun and Moon, and now they're just getting back to it, so yeah. It's very unlikely that I would say maybe within the first 3 months at best, but probably won't be a launch title,
because if they do have like a strong launch lineup without it, I think having that Zelda come out 3 months later, especially in those summer lull months, true, is a huge momentum boost.
True. If it works out.
Right.
But I mean, it's just, I don't remember when the Wii came out, we had Twilight Princess, and that was one of the reasons it sold big early on, alongside, you know, Wii Sports. But that was, again, also because they didn't really have anything else after that. Now they're saying, you know, Nintendo's proclaiming that they're going to do better, but if this gets delayed, and like, I don't know. I doubt highly that this won't be good. I mean, everything we're seeing is beautiful, yeah, and tight and like, even though it's like in this clip, like you and me were talking about this, Tyler, like the AI of like in the gameplay demo, they showed the guy throwing a bomb. The monster avoided the bomb. He walked a wide berth around that bomb so he would not get blown up.
Yeah.
Like, that was awesome.
That was awesome. That was good to see, because a lot of the enemies in Zelda are just generally absurdly dumb. So,
and then like, apparently you actually have collectible weapons, like you, and they break. Once you use them too much, they will break, and it's just like, so it's a continuous thing. It's not like I have the Master Sword, I have the Skyward Sword or whatever, I don't have to worry about this anymore. It's no, I have this sword, it's about to die, I need to get another weapon. That was pretty cool too.
Because again, I do have a first impressions on Breath of the Wild on the site, and yeah, there is like a limit to how much weapons you can carry, weapon stock, we're going to items, ingredients, cooking, recipes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's as you said, like you can pretty much collect any items, including the enemy drop. There is a limit. Throwing weapons is gonna break it. There's a lot to definitely take in from it. Yes. It pretty much, again, the two trailers pretty much more or less reconfirms that.
We probably do need to move on, but I have one more thought I want to share with you guys and get your thoughts on. Looking at this trailer, I don't know what made me think about it, but I'm not a huge Zelda timeline person.
Yeah.
Because especially my biggest problem with it is the whole Fallen Kingdom thing, where the version of Link loses in Ocarina of Time. That just rubs me the wrong way. I feel like I beat that game. Therefore, you know, Link didn't lose, you know? So, but it made me
I would love for you to go to Nintendo and say that. I clearly remember being Ganon in Ocarina of Time, so therefore Wind Waker and Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks does not exist.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I know, I totally sound like that too. I just don't like the thought of the hero failing, I guess. But I think that this game does look like it's going to take the people who don't really care about the timeline and just choose to ignore it and put it in like a clear area. Like, I do feel like this game looks like it, just from the ruins everywhere, that it does take place in that Hero Falls timeline, and maybe even directly after Ocarina of Time, which would be pretty cool. But I don't know if you guys are have any theories on where you think it falls.
I don't honestly. If I didn't know about the Zelda timeline, I honestly wouldn't have cared. Yeah. You know, it's just because do I need to know what these games? The only game I honestly knew. Okay, I'll go back with that. The only games that I knew that represented a timeline were Ocarina of Time to Majora's Mask, because it specifically stated that this was after that game, and then obviously Skyward Sword, because they said this is the beginning of the Zelda story. And, right. it showed that with Demise and everything, and, you know, Skyloft and all that. So I don't really care about the timeline. It's just because it doesn't affect me. It's not like I'm saying, wait a minute, but this happened in Wind Waker's ass. I don't care. I want the self-enclosed world of Legend of Zelda to be awesome, and I think it will be. So, moving on, a couple quick Pokemon news is Sun and Moon are the highest selling Pokemon games ever released in America. 3.7 million combined, that's key, in 2 weeks. And I'm like 2 weeks tomorrow, you know, at the time of this recording, which is Friday. Well, tomorrow would be Friday. Anyway, but it's just like, which actually beats what X and Y did. And I don't think we're surprised, right? Because of the pre-orders and everything, like this kind of was expected, right?
Yeah, it definitely was. I think that all the buzz coming in from Pokemon Go helped it a lot, and all the pre-order numbers really indicated that it would be a smash hit.
Will?
As far as is one thing for me, it's pretty much Pokemon. You know it's gonna be something like hockey, and I believe they also said that it's actually one of the best, like pretty much in Nintendo history, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, most pre-orders in Nintendo history, most demo downloads in Nintendo history. It's beaten Zelda and Mario in like launch sales. You know, it's now the best selling game like pretty much ever for Nintendo.
So again, you like pretty much everyone loves Pokemon. There's no doubt about that. So I'm honestly not surprised.
I was like waiting. I was just like, "Where's the news? Where's the like? Oh, it sells this now." I was like waiting for that news. I'm like, "Where is it? Where is it? Gosh dang!" And then it finally came out. Oh, 3.7 million combined in 2 weeks. I'm like, "Okay, that's awesome."
Because the Mario Kart 8, 2 days after it came out, they had like a victory tweet where they like had the gold mushroom, 2 million sold in 2 days. And yeah, I kind of was expecting that similar number. I don't know about how you guys feel, but when I saw that number, I kind of was not that impressed until I heard that it was their biggest opening ever. I kind of expected, I guess I didn't really know how much Pokemon games usually sold. I just know that X and Y have sold, what, like 20 million copies at this point combined?
Yeah, a lifetime, yeah.
Yeah, so I figure, you know, you would probably get a huge chunk of that right away. I don't know how, I guess I just don't really know how video game sales work, but if, you know, it's on this pace, I guess you can expect it to end up eclipsing X and Y, especially if you throw in Stars along with these two, because that'll be
if it does come out and if it's for the Switch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what's important to know here is actually that the pace of which it's gotten it is actually eclipsed X and Y by like 85%.
That's which incredible.
Because apparently it got like X and Y was like 2.1 million in the first 2 weeks, give or take. And so, you know, for it to basically almost double that, you know, that's huge. And, you know, this was easily one of the biggest risks in Pokemon history with, you know, oh, we're not doing the gym system or, you know, they went all out, and it's from, as we noted, like it was worth it. So I'm glad the sales are reflecting and the reviews are reflecting how awesome this game is.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Also, Pokken Tournament, which should have won the Game Awards award for best fighting game. Just saying. no, I really don't. I just wanted to note that.
I can't believe they gave it to a PS4 game. It's a real shock. They gave it to the PS4.
I mean, for the record, Pokken Tournament has sold more than Street Fighter V, so eat that. No. I don't know if that's true anymore. I remember noting that like 4 podcasts ago, because it was true at the time, but I don't know if that's true now. One time, Pokken Tournament sold more than Street Fighter
VI. Yeah.
I will hold that forever.
Yeah, I remember.
All right, but in that game, they announced that Empoleon, who is, you know, the final evolution of Piplup, the Gen 4 starter, will be in the game in the arcade form, which likely means it'll be coming as DLC. So once again, furthering their already wide roster. I'm calling it right now, Pokken Tournament 2 for the Switch. Yes or no?
Oh, it's gotta be. It's gotta be.
Most likely. It seems to be going.
I mean, it's a hit. I mean, it's by like almost any stretch of the imagination, it's a hit. And, you know, so build upon that, bring in some of the Alola Pokemon, have a wider roster, improve on the multiplayer, and then roll with it. So.
Each of you, real quick, one Pokemon that they need to put in the game. If they make Pokken Fighters 2.
If they Pokken Tournament.
Pokken Tournament 2.
Pokken Fighters. Two. That's a horrible title.
I keep saying Pokken Fighters. I always had it in my head as Pokken Fighters for some reason.
I'll just go basics. Hitmonchan and Hitmonlee.
Okay.
True,
not in the game. They're the starting fighting Pokemon outside of Machop. And I mean, yes, I know we have Machamp, but I'm just like, get Hitmonchan and Hitmonlee in there.
Mm-hmm,
that's a good pick.
Right. Those are pretty much the only ones that I can think at the top of my head. I mean, Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan, again, the original fighting Pokemons, and I don't know, maybe even Primeape.
Primeape would be fun.
Yes, glorious.
But
I have it right now for his special attack. He pulls out Ash's hat and puts it on, and he does the Pokeball wind up like Ash does, but he goes into a tornado spin and he just clobbers the opponent. I mean,
that would be so cool. They have that's the best. I hope Nintendo listens to that, because there's no way they could not use that idea at this point. That is a great idea.
I am going to tweet to them this, and I'm going to say, this is where you go in the podcast to hear my idea. Go to this Nintendo and then hire me, obviously. So I'm a game writer. I have experience. I write comic books. I will help you make games. So.
Boom. I got to go Decidueye, by the way, for mine. I want to get an Alola Pokemon in there, and Decidueye is the man.
There you go.
I'm putting him in.
Okay, I would be very surprised if they make the sequel that if not at least one Alola Pokemon doesn't make it. And I obviously don't know who. I mean, it could be Decidueye. It could be, you know.
Incineroar would fit right in. Incineroar's got the championship belt.
Totally.
So.
I definitely agree. Incineroar would be a good pick. Gosh, I don't know who else from Alola. Maybe Lycanroc.
Yeah, you know? Lycanroc would be very a midday
maybe,
form.
Especially
Lycanroc.
Especially the moon version, which I apparently caught in Pokemon Sun. I don't know.
Really? Huh.
I did.
Interesting.
I guess
it's possible.
Yeah, I guess it evolves differently in the versions, but you can catch the other version.
Oh, that does. You know, that makes perfect sense. I had to evolve mine at night in moon, which means I had to evolve it during the day in real life. Right. And I traded one to my brother because I liked the midday form too, and I had him evolve it during the day. So that's probably how it works.
So it's like we'll pose this to you, ladies and gentlemen. What Alola Pokemon would you want in Pokken Tournament 2 if it does happen? So, finishing up with the news with two little things. NES Classic.
All hail Will.
About it?
The launch was horrible, I am told. You know, outages around the U.S., possibly around the world. You know, Nintendo didn't really stock it like they should. I don't even know what to make of this, because this just seems like a big Nintendo goof. I mean, it was popular. They had to know it was popular. I mean, one look around social media, you know, they did the whole NES Classic Day, so they clearly were expecting big turnout, to then six per store. Really?
Right. I've heard regarding to it, as well as many YouTube personalities, they got from many retailers have only gotten they once they sold the first five shipments, no, they did not got three, no, they did not got 10, no, not 20, not 15, not 10, not even five, but two restocks.
Yeah, that's bad. I mean, that's really. And you would think that he'd be panicked to fix the problem.
I mean, it was one thing when it was like the Wii, which is a console, which, you know, that one was flying off the shelves, and that was kind of understandable because, you know, they had to, you know, fill a whole new market, which they knew they had to fill. But this just seems odd.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. Odd.
And from what basically is, at least from what one person says, because remember, when they going to the NES Classic is more or less they're kind of going at this as a toy mentality, not as a console mentality. Because as you said, like with the Wii, again, like they was pretty much selling out left and right, and that yeah, it was a console. I mean, the NES Classic, I mean, yeah, well, it is technically a quote-unquote console. It's also in the same realm as a toy, because like it's almost like, as everyone knows, like the major holiday item that everyone wants is like the, what was that thing, that Chanimal, something like that, I don't know, that little Furby ripoff thing. I don't know, I can't remember at the top of my head.
I can't remember what it's called.
But yeah, like they pretty much going like making this as a toy to basically like perhaps it's just a seed demand, like make create that artificial demand for it. I mean, like just want to make sure, like yeah, it's a dead promise they're gonna make money. And I don't know, call it greed, call it, I don't know, really unethical. I mean, yeah, they can do it. Sure, Nintendo has all right to do it. However, it's not really doing them any favors, like really creating this artificial environment that, yeah, like they're just gonna make the demand so high, and then like, yeah, like okay, and then like, nope, they're just gonna like trickle down the supply, like just giving two to each stores. And
well, what did you have to do to get yours?
Yeah.
Sacrifice a virgin.
Oh, me? What I did was actually just go, I mean, again, as for like New York Comic Con, you pretty much have to go, how crazy and far are you willing to go through? As for me, I went to Black Friday. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and went to Nintendo World. And thank God for my Nintendo World in New York City. Thank God for that. I live in New York.
Clutch.
And yeah, they're only like, I don't know how many wristbands there were out there at the time, but I believe it was like 250, and that's like only covering around like up to the corner of the block from what I've seen so far. And just a quick story, because there was actually one kid as well, yeah, actually on the train ride, his father actually brought his kid with him to go to get the NES Classic, and they actually want to get the kid actually will buy his own copy of the NES Classic. There was a little bit of trouble with regards to the Nintendo World, but after like a few discussions later, yeah, the kid was about like, I don't know, like 5 years old or so. Yeah. And they won't allow the kid to buy his own NES Classic because again,
he was with his dad, right?
So they were like, and age and all that. But after like a few months, when we started to move, like the manager brought the father and the kid in front, and yeah, like okay, because the kid actually brought his own money to actually get the NES Classic, and at the end, the kid and his father got their NES Classics.
Oh, good. I'm glad they gave it to him. Yeah, I thought you were going to say, and they didn't because they're Nintendo and they can be cold-hearted.
Unfortunately. But yeah, there's like one good happy story. But basically, rounding up is basically going to, like, yeah, Nintendo really, again, creating this environment to the point, like, allowing scalpers to really, like, yeah, scalping the NES Classic, selling it up at ridiculous prices on eBay. And, like, oh, just making us consumers feel like dirt. If anything else.
I really wanted one, but I told my mom, I'm like, Ma, if you can't get it at retail price, like, I put on my thing, you know, if you can't get it for a reasonable price, I don't want you spending $160 for a collection of games that I could download on the virtual console for, you know, less. So.
Right. And many people definitely believe, like, yeah, I could just go with the thing on the virtual console. Why the heck do I want to go back, go get like a toy version of it? What, Nintendo, come on. If you're going to respect the fans, please respect us as fans.
Well, they are restocking from a couple articles I've read. They said they're restocking December 4th. So that should be a good time. So if you want to get one, December 4th online and in stores, they're saying that they're going to have restocks. So.
Mm-hmm. And if you live in the New York area, they have been like occasionally at Nintendo NY, occasionally selling NES Classics for supply runs. And yes, they still also wristband you. So if you're in the New York area, definitely keep an eye on Nintendo NY's Twitter accounts in case you want to get yourself a copy. So yes.
And speaking of respecting fans, and I know Tyler has been waiting for this one in like, what, 10 days, give or take?
Yeah.
Super Mario Run's coming out. And someone on this panel Someone on this panel is very excited for the game, but hates its price range. Who might that be, Tyler?
Yes. $10? $10. That's a lot for a glorified Sonic Dash. I mean, it's going to be fun. You know, I have no doubt that it's going to be a cool game. You know, look at the gameplay. It looks nice. But $10, you could buy Super Mario Maker for 3DS, which is, you know, not as good as the Wii U version, but good, for $40. And it's a whole big featured game. I think $10 is way too much to ask for this. You want the stuff to catch on like wildfire. You put it down, price it for a buck, and then you have in-game purchases for stuff like that people can use to turn your profit.
Let me challenge you on this. Okay, it's $10. Let's say if you buy it for $10,
yes.
But then, like, I don't know. I honestly don't know how they do this because I don't play a lot of mobile games. But, like, let's say the first year of content, if you buy it, is free. Like, the add-on content, the microtransaction stuff that you'd usually have to pay for. Let's say it's free for a year if you buy it. Would that make it worth it?
Well, it would really depend on how much content they're putting out. True. Like, it's the same thing as, like, a season pass in that regard. If you really look at it, it's a very similar premise. Where if they're not telling me how much they're going to give me, then I'm not gonna pay the $10. I'll take my chances. But if they say, okay, yeah, so you know you can buy the initial version for free, and you can play 60 levels without having to pay anything. And if you want to, like, you know, buy extra lives, or I don't know what you would buy in the game, but you give me a little like incentives to spend some cash on it. But you don't have to. I would probably take that over. You have that option, or $10 for a random amount of content that we don't really know how much you're going to get.
I do find it odd how we don't know more about the game. Now, it's very possible we will learn more, you know, before the launch.
You guys aren't harassing me for saying Mario, right?
I'm still going to gripe on you, Dad. And also, I want to clarify as well, if you remember back at the Apple press conference, because the reason they priced it at $10 is because I believe they specifically said they did not want to, like, put in microtransactions in the game because they want to give a reasonable price at a flat price, and that's the only price that you have to pay if I remember correctly.
Oh, well, that changes everything in my opinion.
Well, Mike, you're right. I mean, microtransactions are annoying. I did kind of cringe when I suggested it, but at the same time, I don't know if I was like, pay $2 to play as Luigi, pay $2 to play as Rosalina. You know, I'd be like, well, I'm not going to play as Luigi, but I will play as Rose. Let me take the $2, and then, like, I'll take the rest of the game for free. I feel like you have more freedom to a point, you know, with that model over the $10 for the whole thing.
I guess we'll just have to see. Now, regardless, it's going to be huge. It's going to sell millions and everything. Mm-hmm. We'll have a whole, it prints money! Coming back.
I hope so. I hope the price doesn't scare people away, but I think it might.
Mm-hmm. And how many people have Apple iPhones in this day and age? So yes,
1,500 gajillion, approximately.
Zillion.
And how many kids have iPhones these days? So yeah,
don't get me started. All right, so since we're back, I wanted to kick off this returning episode with a little bit of fun. Something we teased kind of, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes ago, but we just haven't gotten the time to do. Nintendo has had a wide variety of characters, from adorable princesses to epic bounty hunters, and of course, Link, Sword and Shield heroes, plumbers, let's see, people who fight for their friends, people who fight for their kingdoms, everything in between. But there's, well, let's just say there's ones we hold in especially high regard. Ones that we kind of wish were in our world because we find them beautiful. We're talking about Nintendo waifus, ladies and gentlemen. And it's time to talk about who are our favorite Nintendo girls.
Finally time.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's finally time. And this is going to be interesting because I know who some of Tyler's are. And it's going to get. Now, to be clear, this is encompassing all of Nintendo, even though I know some of us will focus on like certain franchises and everything. We are holding all in high regard here. And so, Tyler, I'll let you kick it off. Who are your Nintendo waifus?
Well, number one has to be Alola Ninetales.
Stop it! Oh my gosh! Okay, seriously, I gotta tell him.
We don't need the furry things. We don't need the furry.
It's totally this is a keep it human. No, I can't say that because one of my waifus isn't human.
Totally gag. Oh, yeah. Valoria from Fire Emblem Fates. Great pick. Yes.
What happened was we have this chat for the site, right? And me and Tyler have been we're bouncing back and forth talking about Pokemon Sun and Moon. And one of the things I rubbed in his face was that his Pokemon, Alola Vulpix and Alola Ninetales, were only available in Pokemon Sun naturally.
Awkward.
And so I was like, he was feeling really bad about that. I'm like, hey, if I get one, I'll trade it with you eventually and everything. And then I pop onto the chat and he puts the Pokedex page of him getting Vulpix. I'm like, what the heck?
You know what? You know I got it off the GTS. You know.
Yeah, I know. I caught mine naturally. I caught mine like a true trainer, Tyler.
For the record, okay. The Pokemon I forgot on my team was not Alola Ninetales. I actually did not have one on my main team, which is embarrassing. But
that is embarrassing because it's on my main team.
Well, it is the best Pokemon. I can't blame you.
No, it's just I was an Ice Fairy type. It was very helped balance out my team. Anyway, okay, back to the waifus.
Right. Sorry, I got distracted. I was
talking about Vulpix. Distracted by the nine-tailed creature.
It's a big deal. Okay, so how do you guys want to do? You want to do a top three?
Top three is fair.
All right. Well, you know, so you know, Fire Emblem. You know, that's my thing. That's my domain. It
that's
has
your waifu generator.
A lot of the very best waifus in Nintendo games. So I think I'm gonna start there, and I'm gonna go with a little bit of a dark horse pick here. I don't know if you guys have ever played the original Fire Emblem.
Original.
Her Game Boy Advance. I can't go right in. I got to give you the big picture. So there's a couple of archetypes that you got to go for. You know, of course you have your like the ones that you're usually all right. You know, it's the like the dark and edgy. Like think Tharja. You know, like they're usually pretty good. Then the second step up, you know, like the second best, I would say, is probably the comedically gifted characters. You know, that's the number two trait. And then the number one trait for me is like the straight shooting, like super awesome hero with like a inferiority complex. Like those are like my favorite characters. I gravitate towards. So that's like your Cordelia. And yeah, I should not have said that because Cordelia is going to be on my list, but I guess I'll jump right in with as in the top three. Cordelia, she is amazing. So she is this Pegasus Knight in Fire Emblem Awakening. So I'll get to the Fire Emblem 7 pick later. She first of all, you know, red hair, little feather, like Pegasus wing headband piece. Great touch. And she is like this super perfectionist who like everybody looks at as like this perfect soldier. And, you know, she is, first of all, she's like the greatest a member of any army. She has like amazing stats and she's a Pegasus Knight, which is obviously the best class. But her supports all reveal like, you know, different twists to her personality. So she's got a support with her friend Sumia, who is like a klutz and a dope and a ditz, and she thinks that, you know, she recognizes her inferiority, and Cordelia almost like big sisters her. She like coaches her up and tries to make her believe in herself, and you know, it's great and empowering, and like she's this great big sister character. But then she has her support with Robin, your avatar character, and it reveals a totally different side of Cordelia. You know, she's like she has doubts about herself. She is very insecure. She talks about how her Pegasus Knight friends like picked on her and beat her down, and you're like, but you're like the greatest unit in my army. Like, I don't understand why, you know, you feel this way. And I really like that duality to her character. She goes through the same like doubts and disbelief that everybody goes through, while also being an extremely awesome unit and like an extremely good leader in the army. So she's kind of got like both things going on. So she's got to be, you know, she's got to be best waifu in Fire Emblem Awakening.
I got to stop you just because I would have her on my list. I have to have her as an honorable mention, but she's an honorable mention because of two things. There was this book that was made for the game. It kind of like fills in gaps in the story. And we're not talking about the most important part of Cordelia's storyline, which is her unrequited love with Crom.
I was getting there.
There you go. And which is like, I think that's why people love her so much, because we hate that she can't get with Crom.
Right,
seriously,
exactly.
Guys, it wasn't that hard. You know, it's a freaking waifu generator. Just put her with Crom.
Right.
Anyway, but like in the book, they really accentuate like how desperate she is to be with Crom, and like it gets like really dark. You know, like she like takes a potion from Tharsha, which is never a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, I won't reveal how that went, but it made me sympathize with her anymore. But what made me love Cordelia the most was her S support marriage line with Robin.
Yes.
It,
oh my gosh.
It's the most beautiful thing I've honestly ever heard. It was, "Thank you. I thought nothing could warm my heart again. I shall love you above all others for the rest of my days."
Too.
Nice.
But like, you know, the text doesn't like totally do it justice, because there's a pause. There's a key pause.
Yes.
She goes, "I promise my I will love you above all others."
Yeah,
for the rest of my, like, she sighs.
And even before,
you know,
that,
it's
even
like,
before that, like when he's proposing to her,
he says no, right? Like,
no, she goes, you know, here it is. It goes, "Will you marry me, Cordelia?" Why, Avatar? The thing is, .. And then she goes, "Wait a minute." It's like, and it, like her mind, it like clicks. Like, "Wait a minute. I love this guy. Why wouldn't I marry him?" She goes, "Yes. Oh, yes. And with all I am, I accept him with all my heart." And I'm like, see, so she is willing to give up her love of Crom to be with you, which is true love right there.
Yeah.
So.
She is the goat. That's the great, yeah. The whole Crom, like, inobtainable thing, like, is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I it's another reason to sympathize with her. She has everything. She's the best unit. She's beautiful and like super awesome, and everybody likes her and looks up to her. And yet she can't have the one thing that she wants.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So
yeah, she's on my list.
So number, that's number three. Who's your number two?
Oh, you give me give your number threes. So we'll go.
Okay, my number three. I'm gonna go with one you're probably not expecting. I'm gonna go with Zelda.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Zelda because she's a very, I don't want to say underplayed character, but she has a lot of stereotypes thrown against her because she keeps getting saved. You know, it's like she's weak, and you know, I think that's actually one of the reasons why Ocarina of Time is one of the best Zelda games, because you see her in a much more active role. She's, you know, she's a magician. She has a Triforce of Wisdom for a reason. She's good with a rapier, which especially we get to see in Hyrule Warriors. She leads her kingdom. I mean, she does so much for Hyrule, and it gets downplayed sometimes because we're focusing on Link. And think about it, it was because of Zelda that we went on half of our journey in Ocarina of Time. Because
right.
She's like, we gotta you know, get these things so we could stop Ganon, because I know he's gonna do something. And then she knows that Link can save the day, so she gives him the ocarina as she's fleeing from the city. And it's just like, yeah, that's pretty cool. And you know, she has this sense of honor and but it also a soft compassion, like especially when we got to like, you know, Skyward Sword, where we got to see like young girl Zelda, which I really, really appreciate it. You know, she has this kind compassion, but she can be that leader that you need her to be. And I hope that they really build upon that in Breath of the Wild. And so that is, to me, very beautiful. And so, you know, and technically she's single.
That's a great point.
She's
except
single.
except for the Skyward Sword version of Zelda.
Well, and to be fair, that was though they imply that they would be a couple. You know, they never stated outright that they were a couple. You know, I'm just saying.
The door's still right there.
So I would say so for being a great leader, a good friend, a beautiful soul,
and though she wields the light arrows,
she wields the light arrows, ladies
great
and gentlemen.
Weapon.
Yeah, she can sing, she can play ocarina, she can shoot arrows, she has a rapier. What's not to love, ladies and gentlemen?
Right, she is
she,
like
oh,
a picture of confidence.
She could turn into a ninja assassin.
Yeah, that helps.
That helps. She should have won that death battle against Peach, just saying. So I would say my number three is definitely Princess Zelda. All right, Will, this one I gotta hear. What's your number? Who's your number three?
As far as concerned, I really have no particular orders, but again, the whole motto, more than one waifu destroys your life. It's really hard. I have so many of them, but I'm going to go with the Fire Emblem flag here for a little bit, and I think I probably could categorize this, and this is pretty much, probably going to occupy this number three spot, but I don't know. I find these two characters very appealing, and I think you probably know what I'm going to be talking about. I just can't help but love Darja and Kamiya.
Camilla is a great pick.
I knew if they didn't make one of our lists, I would have been very, very surprised.
Yes, I mean, yes. Besides from two very obvious reasons, quote unquote, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I mean, Darja, again, she's just that creepy girl that you just can't help but like. She has that certain appeal. I mean, yeah, she is obsessed with you, a yandere obsessed person. And yes, I'm using the term yandere. But however, she is indeed capable of love. Don't get it wrong with the term yandere, because yes, she will kill you or kill anybody else to get to you. But she is capable of love, and even in her combos, it's just so. I don't know. It's just so appealing about her. Her combos with Robin is are you putting a spell on me? I'll become a bit normal. I mean, I'll try. And that marriage line, of course.
No, that marriage line, that's the one thing. I actually did S support her, and then I reset my game after the marriage line. That was the deal breaker.
Where she's like, I gotta hear it. I gotta find it now. Darja Avatar support.
Basically, I can't believe you made me love you. Of course, if you back out, I'll murder you in your sleep.
Yo, that was perfect. Okay, that's a great impression.
That's pretty close. That is actually, yeah. I can't believe you made me love you. Yeah,
yes.
That's spot on. I mean, yeah.
Well, excuse me.
Of course, if you back out, I'll murder you in your sleep.
Why not?
Yep.
That was too much. I didn't want Morgan to have to deal with that.
And of course, connecting with Darja, and there's also Kamiya of the recent Fire Emblem Fates. And yes, she is pretty much the big sister yandere who, just tell me who to kill to make you happy, sweetie. Well, okay, thank you, sis. I mean, and spoilers, she's not really a sister, but yeah. she will make you happy in any ways, even if it means killing people.
Yeah. I married her in my conquest.
I married her in conquest. Mm-hmm. I married Azura in Birthright and Charlotte in Revelation.
Yo, Todd, we married the same girls in every game. That's creepy.
It just shows we have the same taste in women.
I was just blown away that when you said, I was like, there's no way it would go Charlotte. Well, it's just,
Azura came because I felt a connection to her in Birthright, especially. Then with Conquest, I kind of went the Tharja route. I'm like, I gotta at least try and marry her. I kind of dug Charlotte when I saw her in the previous games, and I'm like, oh, what the heck, let's do Charlotte. And then, I was blown away by how,
that's a great support. Charlotte is an honorable mention.
She's definitely an honorable mention for me, but, not even that, but just, there's, one of the things I really loved about Fates was that, you know, the home scenes, you know? Once you build up the supports and they have, those little ones, and, when you're with your bride, you know, you kiss her, and then she says a line. And with Charlotte, I was really touched by her. She goes, wow, I guess there are some things that are better than gold. And that's beautiful, baby.
Yeah, Charlotte was great. She was an excellent, excellent selection.
And just quickly as an honorable mention while we're on the Fire Emblem by Bandwagon, I also got to have to give props to Kagero.
Yes. Ninja.
Who?
Kagero. Okay, I was going to put her on my list, but I won't now.
But she's just... I don't know. She's just she has her sense of duty, but she also has that hidden womanly charm, which is just so adorable.
Yeah, first of all, she is without a doubt the hottest character in the game. And she is an awesome unit. And she's adorable. A ninja. And she's an artist. And she's awesome. Yeah, she's great. She's a great pick. She would be on my list for sure, but I will leave her off now.
So yeah, all she right. is definitely one. So yeah, sure. Pretty much the Fire Emblem waifus are in my mind right now.
All right, number two.
Okay,
Tyler, who you got?
All right, so I did show Cordelia would be my number one, But oh, for come the purposes on. Of this, I mentioned her when I was trying to think of the archetype, and then I was like, oh no, she's my number one. I blew it. But I'll just go with my actual number two is going to be Rosalina.
Oh,
yes!
I knew this was coming. I wasn't sure where though.
Yes, Rose has gotta be in there. She's number two. She's my go-to Mario Kart racer, the best racer in the game without a doubt. First of all, Rosalina on the Comet. That's a good game. But you know, here's the thing with Rose. You know, she has the tragic backstory, and yet she just found a way to persevere through it. That's like a common theme, I think, with my selections is anybody who can overcome like ridiculous adversity automatically is great in my eyes. Plus, Rosalina, top tier hair. I used to try to deny it and say Peach had better hair, but that's just not true. Rose has the best hair. It's the bang, you know, the bang with the little swoop.
Yep.
And she's got a silver tiara. And you're going to tell me that she's not a top three waifu. Silver tiara.
Now, remind me again, what was her backstory? It's been too long.
Yes, so Rose, you know, she was a resident of, I guess, probably the Mushroom Kingdom. I don't know if that was specified. And her mom died. And she went out to visit her grave. This might not be perfectly accurate, but it's very darn close. Went out to her grave and visited her and was crying. And then Luma came down and visited her. And Luma like hit it off, and they built the spaceship to go out and visit space. And you know, they went out and were collecting star bits in space, and she's going on an intergalactic adventure as this little girl. And then she starts crying like wildly because she's like, "Oh my gosh, I miss my home. I miss my mom." You know, because she went out to space to try to find her mom. Quote, like, you know, she I guess she just thought she was out there in the great beyond. She was trying to find her. And she ends up becoming a parent to all these Lumas who like join her spaceship. She wants to go back home. So that's why the Comet visits the Mushroom Kingdom every year, is because it's her annual visit to her home where her family lives. So that kind of,
It's kind of a dark story, really.
Yeah, it is. She reads it in a storybook. I didn't tell it perfectly. But it's worth a relook. That's the general gist of it, though, and it's very sad. But then you see her become this motherly like figure to all these Lumas and create this amazing, you know, civilization in space. Plus, there's, you know, the fashion sense. You gotta love the light blue nightgown.
Yeah, the teal
nightgown is so cool. She radiates mystery, you know. She's got that like that little glow about her too, just like literally like she kind of glows a little bit.
She is a mutter.
Yeah, she's like an incredibly cool character, and like she's so calm and wise and disciplined, and yet, you know, she came from a tragic background. So Rosalina number two.
Okay, that's all right. My number two comes from one of my favorite franchises, Fire Emblem. It's actually ironically my only Fire Emblem pick. When I think about it, that's actually kind of weird, but whatever. This was close because there was these two ladies come from the same game, but it was gonna be Nefany.
She is
the, like, in my opinion, one of the best characters in the Tellius series, you know, and like the best fighter. Especially in Radiant Dawn, where she like becomes a sentinel of death.
Yeah, she's a beast.
But I can't compare her to the true waifu of the Tellius saga. Mia.
Yes, I knew you were going to say Mia. I knew you were going to say
love Mia. She comes in so innocuously. It's like, wait a minute, are you Ike? Yeah. Oh, your father hired me to help you out, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then I started training her. You know, I think I didn't play with her my first run through, but I did my second. And it was like, you know, love and all that. And then she became this epic swords master. And it was just like, then she was back in Radiant Dawn. And it was just like, yay, Mia's back. And she's just got this great personality. She's like, she wants to fight. You know, she likes Ike, you know, because he's a great fighter. And she knows that he won't hold back on her and everything, and so she wants to be like the best sword fighter. And then she has that funny storyline with Reyes and everything, and she's just so like perky and like bubbly in personality. It's just so much fun.
She's
amazing. She's a great unit. I mean, like, everyone's like, but no, Zyhark's been. I'm like, screw Zyhark.
No, yeah, no, he's worse. She's way better.
She's way better. But I mean, it's just like, it's just I like that. I like that kind of personality where she's like, she's confident who she is. You know, she wants to be the best fighter, and she wants to help her friends and everything. And like, I love that she actually joined the Grail Mercenaries after Path of Radiance, because that was one of, like, the few, like, true character progressions we got to see from the in between, if you will. And so it's just like, oh, look, there's Mia. And she's like, Soren, didn't I tell you to always watch your back and keep your head out of your book? I'm like, yes, Mia, insult Soren.
Yeah, that was all. That cutscene's an all-time classic, too.
That whole scene was actually the reason I got Radiant Dawn, because it was just like, that was the trailer. I was like, wait a minute, there's going to be a sequel to Path of Radiant? And then they show that scene, and I'm like, oh, holy crap. I'm like, oh, God.
What if I hit her?
No.
Come on, Ralph.
No.
Rolf.
Rolf, yeah. It's like, I know she needs, right? We don't have all day. And like, that was hilarious. That scene, that one section is like, look, draw the arrow, one motion.
No hesitation.
It's like, yeah, no emotion, no hesitation. And then you see Lucia fall, and then you see her land in Ike's arms, and you're like, oh, they're all screwed. Like, and you're like, wait a minute, the whole context, you know, that whole, like, scenario of Lucia's about to be hanged in a Nintendo game, you know, poignant. Lucia, who I actually took her name and transformed it to make Alicia in my book Home, because I like Lucia that much. Who easily could have been totally an honorable mention. But like, she says, no, like, Lucia, I have to let you go to save my kingdom. She's like, yes, I know, I'm okay with this, I will die for you. And she's like, wait a minute, they're really gonna kill Lucia. And then you're like, cutscene. Oh wait, there's Ralph. Oh, they're shining. Oh, they're gonna save her. Yes, baby. Yeah, and like Ike with Lucia over his shoulder is swinging Ragnar with one arm and killing them all. It's like, awesome. You guys, do you realize you guys are dead yet? I mean, come on. But yeah, I love Mia. I mean, she was just a really fun character, really funny character. I feel bad for Reyes because she's like, she's trying to teach him swordsmanship and like, it doesn't work out. Like, oh wait, no, I gotta teach you on a horseback. That's what the prophecy meant. And they're like, oh gosh, Mia.
Yeah. So, that was so funny. That whole, like, support of her seeking out her rival.
It's like, do you suppose if I was to ship Ike and Mia, it'd be IKEA? I would ship them together because I could see them, like, dueling every day as a profession of their love. I'm just saying. So Mia, my lovely purple-haired swordsman, you are my number two waifu. So, Will, who's your number two? This I gotta hear.
For me, I'm gonna go back to the Zelda realm, and we're gonna go Twilight here. And uh-oh. Yes, I am gonna go with the lovely Princess of Twilight, Midna. Regarding to Midna, I think if you play during the entire journey of Midna, like, yeah, she definitely comes out as snarky, very snappy at you, like, just a wisecrack, just really shows you no respect to our main character, Link. However, like, during the entire journey, you learn, like, what? You're a princess? And, like, you're doing this to save your entire country as with any other princess would have. Like, so, you're like, yeah, including the whole, like, the sages. Like, indeed, Princess of Twilight. And, like, so you finally know me, yeah? And then, like, once you, like, even to the point, like, Midna actually tried to, quote-unquote, sacrifice herself to take down Ganondorf in Hyrule. And just, like, and then the Spirits of Light just reveals her true form. It's like, she becomes,
yeah,
God dang. She is that form. And even says, like, what, am I so beautiful that you're left on speechless? It's like,
what'd you hear her talk?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like, you thought that imp was, like, yeah, very mysterious, like, and then she becomes, like, bam, into that, and, yeah, besides the fact that she looks, like, very, yeah, due to the fact that it was in, a desert region, very, what was the term, not very, like, Eastern, kind of like a Middle Eastern, kind of like that, like, yeah, Saudi, like, Arabian-esque influence, yeah, the dress, I mean, the props to the dress. That's a beautiful dress.
Yeah, that was very nice.
But and just like one, her personality, like even though she is very snarky, she's kind of like that one cool gal that like she knows how to take care of herself. That's one thing I like about her. She knows how to take care of herself. She is not afraid to speak her mind. That's one thing I appreciate about her. And the way she like just kind of hints at the end of Twilight Princess is like, breaks the mirror and just goes back to her home with that implied emotion to Link. Is like,
yeah,
oh man, Midna, and heck, it has captured many people's fanboys' hearts. It's just like, yeah, Midna, she's strong, she speaks her mind, she's beautiful, none to say the least. She's just definitely one gal that you can't help but love, and that's why she's my number two.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I think if you were to take a poll of Nintendo fans, Midna might be number one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here we go. So we know you're number one, Tyler.
Yes,
so I guess
you know.
So it's Cordelia, but who is your number three?
Okay, well, yeah, this goes into the comedy angle. You need a nice diverse range of waifus, and in this category, you have to look at Cynthia. From Fire Emblem Awakening, Sumiya's daughter, one of the funniest characters of all times. I loved her for a long time. I put her on my list of favorite characters because she is hysterical. She wants to be a hero, but she just is like such a clutch that she can never do it. But she doesn't let her get it down, and it's awesome. It's hilarious. But I'm going to put from Fire Emblem Birthright, Mitama, who is a character who most people don't use because he's kind of dopey. What's his name? Azama, his daughter. And the reason I put Mitama on this list, first of all, she has stars in her eyes. Her eyes are literally stars.
Yes. Okay, I gotta look that up. I'm just
there are stars in her eyes. She has stars in her eyes. It's pretty cool. I mean, you have to put that out there. But also because she also sort of is like my spirit animal. You know, she literally sleeps all day. That's like her thing. Like that's her character. She's a great poet. She's surprisingly sweet. She's incredibly lazy, and she just sleeps all day.
And sleep like, eternal without meddling, paternal, snores everlasting.
Haiku. She's speaking haiku, yeah.
She speaks in haiku, first of all. That is pretty cool. I could see how that would be annoying from time to time. But at the same time, she sleeps all day, so it's okay. It doesn't matter. You're not going to be talking to her that much because she just likes to sleep. And that's awesome. I mean, personally, I don't know about you guys, I'm a huge fan of sleep. So
nothing wrong with that.
In terms of quality of life, she's a great pick. I mean, you don't have to like argue ever because she's going to be asleep all the time. You don't have to like worry about her in battle because she's going to not be there. She's going to be sleeping. She's a great pick. Mitama is hilarious because she is super lazy and she sleeps all day, and that is why she is on my list, my number three waifu.
Huh.
Boom.
Wow.
Dark Horse pick.
Oh, gosh. All right. My number one, quite ironically, has already been said, but I shall profess my love nonetheless. Dramatic pause. For Midna! And as I was thinking about this list, I actually forgot about Midna for whatever reason, but then I was like, wait a minute, I love Midna. What am I doing? What the heck? No, I love Midna, and like she is easily one of, if not the reason, I love Twilight Princess oh so much. I mean, also Wolf Link, you know, like who doesn't love that? But it's just Midna. I mean, seriously, she's funny. She's sarcastic. She's useful in infinite amount of ways. And even without the reveal at the end, you know, of her true form, you know, it was just like, she was so awesome. She was willing to do things. Like, she was a vengeful character, but she didn't, like, reek of evil, you know. Mm-hmm. She was, like, righteous vengeance and everything. When she accidentally got attacked by that spirit of light and she almost died, I'm like, no! No, you can't kill Midna. and everything, and then like when she's fighting Ganon and she uses the Forbidden Shadow to try and stop him, and she whisks Link away to protect him so that she could do this. I'm like, wait, no, Minda, no, stop, Minda, what are you doing? No, and I'm like, and like, and then she like almost dies again. I'm just like, dang it, stop trying to kill my girl here. And then like she was in, I wanted her to be in Smash Brothers. When they did like the reveal for Smash Bros, I'm like, I want Minda in here. And then there was a sister of me, I'm like, okay, fine. And then like they did like the ballot and everything. I voted for Wolf Link and Minda, and I'm like, we need Wolf Link and Minda. I just thought that would be a great character, like balance wise. You know, I thought that'd be something very unique for the game and all that. But she was just so funny, and like when she came back to Hyrule Warriors, I tried to play her as much as I could and everything. She just, because it's Minda, and like, dear gosh, she's awesome. I bought an ocarina at Comic Con. And I got like 12 songs to go with it, and one of them was Minda's theme. I was like, heck yeah. It's like, it's Fate. So
yeah, Minda's Lament is an amazing song.
Oh yes, yes.
I know, and I'm actually gonna, you can't hear it right now obviously, but I'm gonna use Minda's theme as the intro to this whole segment, so to yeah. Show my love once again.
I highly recommend checking out, her name's Michelle Heafy on yep. YouTube. She does video game covers, and she did a Minda Lament thing, and it's amazing. She's the best YouTube cover person ever, and you should listen to that song. It's amazing.
I will check it out. But yeah, so for being epically fierce, epically funny, epically friendly, and even epically beautiful, and causing me to actually cry at the end of Legend of the game, I give Minda my number one wife. Okay, now this one I really got to hear, because I'm actually quite surprised by some of your picks so far. I did not expect Minda, and then obviously, you know, Tharja, Kamiya, combo. Who, Will, is your number one waifu?
Desiyone, as for me, I mean, I'm probably going to go with the more traditionalist. I'm definitely going to do an honorable mention, but I'm going to go traditionalist on this, and pretty much you got to go with one of the more, if not one of the famous Nintendo waifus of them all. And yes, that's right. I'm going with the Samus Aran.
Oh, I was hoping she made it.
I was literally afraid you were going to say Princess Peach.
I was too. I kid you not.
Well, don't get me wrong. Princess Peach has her appeal, but the Samus Aran as like one of the original princesses. Well, not the princess.
No, she's not a princess. She's a bounty hunter.
Heron.
There we go.
She is the original Heron of Nintendo, and ever since back in the NES days.
Agreed.
I mean, Samus Aran, oh my god. The list goes on regards to her. Like, one, I believe you said it best, Todd, regarding to, like, yeah, like, one of you, I forgot. But basically, like, she came from a horrible background. Her childhood was more or less was raided by pirates, by space pirates, by Ridley. And pretty much left nothing but to herself and had to be raised by bird people, basically.
Yep. Space bird people.
Yes, yes. And after that, she pretty much learned the skill. She became the famous bounty hunter that she is right now, to the point of being a mutter, which we will not mention Other M. Basically, it's just
Other M.
Basically, she has grown from a hard past into the great heroine that we know as. She's badass. That's also another thing as well. She's kind of, in a way, kind of somewhat of a blank slate. You could pretty much describe her as what she is. Like, yeah, she is a bounty hunter, but we're going to her personality. Like, the main games. We're talking main games here. Like, we don't really know too much about her, but her actions pretty much define her.
And it's cool. But, yeah. Like, it would be kind of boring if she was just, like, this, like, loud, just, like, talkative person. It wouldn't fit.
And, like, only at the end of them, like the Metro Prime games, where you actually see her in full glorious 3D, voiced by the lovely Jennifer Hale. God, I love her. It's like,
who doesn't?
And again, and of course, like, yeah, her Varia suit, like, just basically on her basic form, her Zero suit, her old good old gym shorts. I don't know, you were like that. On the old games back in the
GBA.
Yeah,
I remember that. That was something.
Yes. I mean, one, she's strong. She's beautiful. She can pretty much just limber quick. Heck, even Snake wants a piece of that butt. Yes, literally.
Easy. Sea biscuit. Easy.
And
if you're not using the blue swimsuit costume in Smash when you're playing her, you really shouldn't play her at all.
Okay, keeping it PG, but basically, yeah, the Zero suit, all suits, I mean, she is just downright beautiful, limber, pretty much well-endowed, pretty much the features of a well, of a womanly figure. Like, heck, even that could be as a mutter, a bat, mutter, bounty hunter, just a strong female overall. She is just like, she pretty much fills the list from top to bottom. And again, blank slate, her actions define her. She's just one of those strong heroines that you gotta appreciate, in not just in Nintendo, but pretty much in the gaming world.
She's so epic that in her first game, we all thought she was a dude. And not until the very end when she took off her helmet.
Hey, Todd, check
suit.
Your privilege. Check your privilege, Todd. Come on, check your privilege.
Check my what?
Your privilege. Your privilege.
What?
Privilege? Oh, never mind. Never mind. Forget it. Just carry on.
I was just saying, like, we all thought it was a guy until she took off her helmet or took off her suit and, like, revealed, hey, I'm actually a girl. So vehement was I that I did not believe that. So my friend, we were playing the original Metroid, I think it was Super Metroid, actually, that when he told me, like, I'm like, Samus Aran, that's a really bad dude. And, no, it's a girl. No, it's not. Samus is a guy's name. No, it's not, my friend would tell me. And I'm like, dude, seriously, Samus is a guy. No, seriously, Todd, Samus is a girl. I'm just like, because you couldn't, at that, think about this. It's the 80s when they did this. I mean, yes, we had Ripley, who was, you know, obviously a big influence on this series. And, you know, we had some, like, super strong female heroines. But for a video game that early, you know, that was so awesome. And, like, and now she's, like, a mainstay in Smash. You know, Smash would not be the same without her. You know, she's I would define her as a member of the Nintendo Trinity along Mario and Link.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I would.
Put her at the number three spot?
I would definitely number three.
Okay. I mean, Pikachu there, but.
Look, it's the thing. Okay, when I say the Trinity, I mean the titles that I really feel help set up Nintendo. Now, yes, Pokemon is definitely, I would say Nintendo number four, or Pokemon number four, because of their lasting impact, but I don't know. I feel that her impact, and even like her rebirth via the Prime games and even Metroid Fusion, you know, and the fact that gamers are crying out for Nintendo to remake Metroid, if whether for the Switch or whatever the handheld will be, you know, because they want Metroid that much, they want it back after what happened with Other M. That shows their love of Samus Aran.
Yes, and again, like, she just pretty much is the embodiment of what a great female heroine should be. So that, again, so yeah,
ways, I agree.
That is the reason why Samus is my number one waifu. And as Alvaro mentioned, in the same category, you also got to give props to Wii Fit Trainer.
Oh gosh, stop!
Respect.
Stop.
Heck. She has no backstory, but heck, she is definitely in the same category as Samus.
I guess you could say she fits in. I'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen. Oh wow!
And any other mentions on you guys as well? I mean, just as
I go Princess Alencia, especially after what, especially because of her two games. Like, she's absolutely beautiful to me. I can't believe I forgot her, Jill.
Yes. Oh, Jill Fizzard. She is awesome.
Like, you want to talk tragic backstory? Talk about just talk God. Tragic story.
I made her fight her father. I made her chop her down.
I think I did once. I made her fight her father.
I held her feet to the fire. It was me or him.
Yeah. So no, Jill from Fire Emblem Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn is this Dan soldier who was the bad guys in the Path of Radiance. She was racist, hot blooded. She thirsted for action, and then she got in with Ike and the mercenaries, and slowly, if you allowed her to, she realized how wrong she was. She was like, I was told all my life that the Lagus, these shapeshifters, were beasts. They're primal, that they didn't deserve to live, that they deserved to be wiped out. That was all I was taught. And then I see you fight with them. And I realized that that was wrong. And she, if you, and one of my favorite interactions is her and Laith. If you endure it and you push it and you get that ace support, she has the most beautiful moment with Laith where she says, I want to shake your hand because I respect you that much. And I want to show that I have grown because I couldn't even look at you before. but now I consider you my friend, Leif, and I want to shake your hand. And she does it. And Leif was just as evil to Jill as she was to, you know, anyone else. But it was just like that moment where this is like she's grown. And then even after, you know, she has to face her father because she knows it's right and everything. It's Jill is easily one of my favorite characters in all.
Also, she can run right through the entire endgame of Radiant Dawn. Like, she is so broken. But
well, I would say Path of Rage, she's better, but I mean,
she's great in both.
Yeah, you have to. I feel you have to endure her more in Radiant Dawn, whereas in Path of Radiance, you have more of a chance to build her up to that legendary. I use Har more than her.
Yeah, that's true. Har comes in at a really good level in Radiant Dawn. Yeah. She comes in early, so you have to train her. But once you train her, she's ridiculous. Yeah. I got to give a shout out to Lady Palutena too.
I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah, well, when you said Samus, it made me. I looked over at my Amiibo collection. And I was like, "Oh, Palutena! How could I forget? Palutena is a great pick. She's hysterical in the. I mean, that whole game is hysterical. Kid Icarus Uprising, yes. The dialogue.
But, oh my gosh!
And of course, the lovely Ali Hillis, of course.
The banter between those two. Some of it's not safe for work.
No, it gets heated. Oh, you know, another shout out. Phosphora is hilarious in that game too. She is like one of the chapters, and she comes back a couple times as a recurring character. She's in Smash as an assist trophy. She's hysterical when she like is like teasing Pit, and Pit like eats it up, and Palutena has to like bring him back into focus because her buttering him up is working. So. Yeah. Yeah, I got to give a shout out to those two characters from Kid Icarus.
I think Palutena, and I mean this is in the funny way, but I think Palutena really became waifu material with her Smash Brothers intro bit.
Yes,
oh my god! Because
I mean, like it was one of those leaks that we all thought were true, and then like they did the first of all the proof that we need a Smash Bros. Anime with Link versus Pit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so cool,
so good. But then I was just like. Oh, like she comes down. Is like, wait, you're here, Lady Palutena? Oh, I'm not here to help you, Pit. And she sends him up, and then she does like the shake with her leg, and the shake with the necklace, and like she smiles at the camera. I'm just here, call it some divine intervention. Just like that. Like I saw a guy make a gif of just her like shaking into position. Let's call it.
And that was like, hilarious.
That's how she became the waifu. It's just like that, like 2 seconds of her like exposing her leg, you know, shaking up top, and then like straightening up. It's just like, waifu.
Also, she has great hair. Her hair is not shown in Smash, but it is great. Like they do a poor job of showing off her great hair, but she has great hair.
Yeah.
We could pretty much go on and on, but we
could. I mean, just in Fire Emblem, we could break it down by game.
I already feel guilty for leaving Cynthia off the list because Cynthia is hysterical.
Yes. Perhaps in another time.
Waifu War is the sequel. Yeah. All right. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to wrap up this 9th episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast.
Let me stop you. Also, just a quick reminder, because by the time you hear this podcast, reminder, the next series of Zelda Amiibo is out in stores right now. So please definitely check it out.
Yeah, we'll be releasing this on Friday. Definitely check that out. So with that, we will end the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Let us know who are your Nintendo waifus. We are always up for talking about that. So comment here on the Outer Haven page, and give us your top three. But if you can only make one, make sure it's a good one.
No. And don't give us your first one third. Just don't
there you go. Yeah, Tyler, bring that up for us. Ring the podcast. No. But yeah. Be sure to check out everything here on Outer Haven, including our other podcasts about Sony, about Microsoft, the regular Outer Haven podcast. We got some big things coming. And be sure to stay tuned for me and Tyler's spoiler cast on Pokemon Sun and Moon. So, for Wario Will and Tellius Tyler, I am Triforce Tom. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time, but we are not out of lies. We have made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.